May God's grace, His peace, His great mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. Our text is the Gospel lesson, Mark 1, the baptism of our Lord. Let us pray. Lord, your word is sharper than a double-edged sword. And may that mighty sword of your word penetrate our hearts, our minds this day for faith, understanding. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We at times spend energy and time doing this. We think about this. We tend to worry about this. Some people are consumed with this. What am I talking about? I'm talking about pleasing others. Don't we sometimes worry a lot about pleasing other people? Kids want to please their parents, at least we hope they do. And parents usually want to please their children. And we want to please our spouse, we want to please our boss, we want to please our friends, we want to please the cat and the dog sometimes. We tend to spend a lot of time and energy trying to please other people, be liked. Well, I pray above all as Christians, we want to please God. He above all is the one that we want to please. But how in the world can we, sinful people, please God who is holy and righteous and perfect? I mean, look at Adam and Eve. They commit one sin. One little apple or one piece of fruit they eat, and they're out. They're kicked out. They're going to die. They're separated from God. Well, we've all committed more than one sin. How in the world can we sinners please God Almighty in heaven? Well, I believe the baptism of Christ shows us what pleases God. At the end of the text, you have the great climax of the baptism of Jesus, this wonderful event. We have the voice of the Father from heaven saying, "You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased." Let me answer two questions today about all of this. How does Jesus please the Father, especially at his baptism when the Father says it? "You're pleasing to me." And then secondly, for us, to apply it to us, because this is what really matters for us, how in the world can we please God? Well, first of all, what is it about Jesus and his baptism that pleases the Father, where the Father almost can't contain himself? Rarely do you have God speaking from heaven, but here you have an instance where God just can't contain himself is the idea. The Father must speak and shout, "You're my Son, with you I'm well pleased." I mean, what is it about this that's so important to God the Father, that he shouts from heaven that he's pleased with Jesus? Well, there are two things going on here, perhaps. First of all, the obvious, he is pleased with Jesus, this simple man from Nazareth, the carpenter's son, who is now 30 years old. He's pleased with Jesus because Jesus, as he says, is his son. He's not really Joseph's son. He is the only begotten son of the Father. This is the Father's son, the second person of the Trinity. God of God, light of light, very God of very God. We talked about that last week. Jesus is God's very Son, now in the flesh. And therefore, Jesus, as a man, because he's also God, Jesus is perfect. He's lived 30 years now when he enters the water of the Jordan River. And he's perfect. He's righteous. He's holy. Finally, God the Father is saying, finally, we have a man who's perfect. Finally, a man who's righteous and pleases me. Finally, after all these years, finally, at least one man pleases me. It's because Jesus is also his son, the second person of the Trinity. Jesus, as he enters the water, has no sin in thought, word, or deed. He has no sin of commission or omission. He has no pride, no hint of it. He has no greed, no hatred, no lust, no jealousy, no envy, no gluttony, no sin at all, not even a trace of sin, nothing. He's holy and righteous, God's Son. And so, of course, the Father is pleased. Finally, a man who pleases me is perfect. I've told kids in confirmation class that, you know, you get 94% in school. You did great. That's an A. You're happy. You're pleased. And the teacher's pleased. 94. You missed 6 out of 100, but 94% is not bad. You get 87%, you're still pleased. It's a B, it's all right. 75% is a C, average, you pass, it's fair. Lower than that, you're probably not too pleased. But with God, 75% is not enough. With God, 88% is not enough. With God, 94% is not pleasing. With God, 99.9999999% isn't pleasing. You must be 100% perfect and righteous, for that is how God is. Be holy, for the Lord your God is holy. And Jesus is the man because he's God. He's perfect. He's holy. And there's more, though. Why does he say it at his baptism? Because now at his baptism, Jesus the Son becomes sin. Jesus the Son of God, perfect and holy, becomes sin. He is taking away the sins of the world officially, publicly. He's 30 years old, beginning his public ministry now, which concludes with his death and resurrection 3 years later. And now Jesus, when he's baptized, is officially, publicly, willingly. He doesn't try to run from the Jordan River. He doesn't try to avoid it. No one drags him to the Jordan River to be baptized. He willingly, publicly, officially accepts the job the Father gave him. His task, his job the Father gave him was to be the Son who becomes sin, to take upon himself the sins of the world, to bear the sins of the world, that you and I might be saved. And that pleases the Father, for he wants all to be saved. And now his Son is going to do the job. He publicly, officially shows it and accepts the job. You see, when Jesus enters the water, he enters the water as Son. He leaves the water as sin. He enters the water as Lord. He leaves the water as Lamb. He enters the water as King of creation. He leaves the water to take up the cross and be the lowliest servant. It's official. He's going to do it. Why is Christ baptized? We talked about that in Bible class today, and we kind of struggle with that a little bit. Why is he baptized? He doesn't have sin that needs to be washed away. Illustration to help you understand how his baptism is the opposite of our baptism and gives power to our baptism. I want you to think of giving a bath to a baby. We have a lot of parents, grandparents. We've all given a bath to our 6-month-old, 4-month-old baby, right? A baby does not bathe itself. You must bathe your baby. All right, when you have the water there in the bathtub, what does the baby bring to the water? The baby brings its dirty body to the water. Filthy mouth, filthy hands, probably a dirty behind, and you're not real happy. That's why you're giving a bath. The baby brings its mess, its filth to the water. What do you as a parent bring to the water? You bring the bubbles, the shampoo, the soap, and your loving hands in the water to bathe your baby. That's what you bring. When the baby's washed, how does the baby leave the water? The baby leaves the water clean, fresh, washed, smelling good. And what's left for you as a parent? The mess to clean up. The dirty bath water, the dirty tub, and the dirty bathroom you must clean up also. And this maybe illustrates Jesus' baptism and ours. When we come to baptism, we bring our filth, our mess, our sin. Jesus, when he's baptized in the Jordan River, he doesn't have any of that. Jesus brings his righteousness, his holiness, his love, his mercy, his grace. That's what he brings to the Jordan River, the baptismal font. When we leave baptism, we are washed, we're clean, we're fresh, we're new, we're covered in the righteousness of Jesus. But as Jesus leaves the Jordan River, the baptismal font for him, as he leaves with sin. He leaves with our filth, our mess, which he takes to Calvary's cross and does away with. So this all pleases the Father. Wow, he's going to save the world. He's not going to avoid the cross, run from the cross. He's going to be the sin bearer. And the Father is pleased. We all get saved then. Now, the second question. Well, how then does this relate to us? How can we, sinners, please the Father? The Son does because he becomes sin. How do I please the Father? How can I please God today? Well, you please God the Father not by working and working and working and working and trying to climb your way up. Maybe you please your boss that way. Maybe you please your spouse that way or your friend that way. You do not please God the Father by working and working and working and working and working and not working the other guy. It's not how you do it. You please the Father
by being washed and being washed and being washed and being washed and being washed by him in the waters of your baptism, which continues in the words of absolution the pastor proclaims every Sunday morning. You please the Father as he washes you and cleanses you. Jesus' baptism, the Son becomes sin. In our baptism, we sinners become sons. We become the children of God. We're adopted by God. We are covered in the righteousness of Jesus. Our sins are washed away. We're the children of God. When God says, "You are my son, with you I'm well pleased," those words were meant for Jesus. They're also meant for the church. When we're baptized, he says, "You're my son, you're my daughter, with you I'm well pleased," because you're washed, you're clean, you're forgiven. As we sit here today, as the baptized, never think that God the Father frowns at us. There's those people at First Lutheran. What am I going to do with them today? What are they doing in my house? He does not frown on us. He doesn't look on us with disgust. We're not a pest to God, like a fly in the house that you just tolerate, that you'd rather get rid of. We're not a pebble in God's shoe that you tolerate, but you'd rather just throw it away, but you walk around with it for a while at least. We're not a pest or pebble. We are the children of God, his dear children. He loves us. He smiles at us. He rejoices in us. We're totally pleasing to him because we're washed and cleansed in baptism, covered in the righteousness of his own son. I mean, go back to the washing the baby. After you wash your little baby and you put the powder on, maybe a little perfume, you put fresh clothes on, what do you do with your baby? Oh, you kiss him. Oh, you smell so good. You delight in your child. The baby did nothing to delight you. The baby was dirty and filthy and probably crying. Yet you've washed your baby and you kiss them. They smell so good. You're so beautiful, Johnny or Susie. And you just hug them and kiss them. You did all the work to make them pleasing to you. And yet they are pleasing to you. You've washed them. They're your child. And so, holy baptism. Who here would say, "I was baptized"? Who was baptized? Get your hand down. Hey, Pastor, you didn't have your hand up, did you? Very good. I've asked this about every time we do the baptism of Christ. I ask this question because you guys never get it right. I know it's been a year. I'll ask again next Sunday, see if you can remember after a week. You never say, "I was baptized." What's wrong with that? Baptism is not a past event that no longer matters. You say, "I am baptized." Say it. I am baptized. It's a present, ongoing power in your life. I'm 45 years old. I'm not sorry to believe it. I look like 55, 65 probably. All right. I was baptized when I was 2 weeks old. And yet I stand in the pulpit today as a 45-year-old man. I stand here today washed, cleansed, righteous in God's sight, well-pleasing to him, his son, not because of anything I've done. I'm a sinner, bigger sinner than all of you probably. We're all sinners. Not because of myself, but because of my baptism 45 years ago. It continues to wash me and bathe me and make me righteous. We hear it again in the absolution. That's like being rebaptized. Your sins are forgiven, the pastor says here at the baptism font. You know, we parents, myself being a parent of four, we often like the word "but." B-U-T, but. You know, our child brings home a report card. And they have two A's and two B's and a C. "Well, Johnny, you did good, but maybe you want to get better on that C next time. You're halfway pleasing to me." Or they have a piano recital, and they do a really good job at the piano recital. "Well, Susie or Johnny, you did really good. It was a beautiful song, but you missed a couple notes. Maybe practice a little bit more next time. You're halfway pleasing to me." Or they play a ball game. And they have a good game, and you say, "Johnny, Susie, yeah, good ball game. You played well. But you missed a couple free throws and made a few errors and missed some shots. You're halfway pleasing." There's always that "but." With God, there's no buts or if or ands. God says, "You are my son. With you, I'm well pleased." No buts. Just "with you, I'm well pleased." In baptism, we are righteous. Period. No buts. And the church shouts, "Amen." Shout it. Amen. It's true. In baptism, we are washed and clean totally. No buts. Period. And the church shouts, "Amen." It's true. In baptism, we're forgiven of all of our sins. All of them. Drowned. Washed. No buts, period. And the church shouts, amen. In baptism, we have the gift of eternal life, the resurrection of our bodies. We are righteous, totally pleasing to the Father, period. No buts. And the church shouts, amen, and amen, and amen. It's true. Believe it. Let's rise, confess our faith.